Some of you, most of you probably know this. My main occupation, I'm a nurse. I work at the Greenville Hospital System. And this past week, I've had to go back and forth to Lawrence because that's a part of the Greenville Hospital System now. And we do competencies or training that we do every year for all the staff. And the group that I work with, we go from hospital to hospital. I'm stopping at one of the fast food places here in Honeypath this morning, and I think it was a Wednesday morning, and I was wearing my scrubs for work, and a lady that worked there asked me what I did. Now, anyone that's in healthcare, when you hear that question, you never know quite what's going to come next, because sometimes people, they get kind of personal right in the middle of a public place, and I told her I was a nurse, kind of reluctantly, and she said she needed to talk to me before I left. My first instinct was, and because I've had this conversation go in a lot of different directions, I knew I was going to be late. I was leaving right out for the moment. I mean, it was just something told me, something was put on my heart. I need to listen to her. And I told her, I got a scoot, so go ahead and shoot. And she said it was personal. Also, something you really do not want to hear when someone's about to ask you a question or tell you something. Something got laid on my heart, though. And it was told, it was laid on my heart to tell her, if it's your blood pressure or your breathing, you need to go to a doctor instead of asking me. I don't know why, it just kind of popped out, and she looked at me in a really odd way and said it was her blood pressure. And I sucked it up. I knew I was going to be late, but something told me I needed to talk with this lady about her blood pressure. And we spent the next few minutes, and I started telling her about how her blood pressure can run. If it gets too high, it can affect her kidneys and her eyes, and how she really needs to get medicine for it. And the medicine you can get from Walmart a lot of times for like $10 for 90 days. And it's a big thing to really take care of. And she really seemed to appreciate it. She says she's going to get a doctor's appointment and look at it. And as I started down the road, I started thinking about this lady. Those of you that may not know me, well, I pray about what to tell you. It comes from books, but it comes from books after I get the idea. A lot of times the Holy Spirit shows me things, what to speak about through people I meet or through scripture that I pick up on during the week. And this was one of those things. I felt like there was something here I needed to be to listen to. And there are times I feel overwhelmed. I feel like I'm here to save the world. I think a lot of us feel like that, that we're here trying to save everyone and make things better. I got so discouraged by the news last night, I had to just put my phone down. My other half told me to, because I was reading about a little boy over in Great Britain, 18 months old, that was on life support, and the government of Great Britain thought it was in his best interest to take him off of it with their healthcare system, even though the Pope had gotten involved, got this boy Italian citizenship. The Italian president had a military plane standing by to fly this little boy over. It wasn't going to take the British tax, wasn't going to cost the British taxpayers anything, and be seen at the Vatican Hospital. The British government took it upon themselves to put a row of police outside the little boy's hospital to prevent the parents from being able to take him. They decided it was in their bed. They decided that they had more right than that boy's parents. And it bothered me to the point I had to put down my phone. But as I read over these notes this morning, I realized God used me that morning to talk to this lady to help her understand her high blood pressure. He used me for one thing. Holy Spirit didn't put it on my heart to answer every question there by every person. He worked through me to help this one person. It started me thinking about, what if we all just help one person? And there are people who think it's the job of the pastor to bring people to Jesus, and it is part of what of our calling. But it's the part of every believer to bring people to Christ and tell them the good news. And it doesn't mean you have to speak fancy. The Spirit's in everybody. You just start the connection, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8 before he went back to heaven, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even into the remotest part of the earth." Ronald Reagan said, "We can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone." I saw that quote and I started looking through the Bible and looking through my Bible commentaries, and I found where we're going here in Acts. And it's a just a classic story of somebody helping, of someone, of an everyone person helping someone. In reading through these first three verses, Philip isn't the disciple Philip. He was somebody different. All these years, I thought it was the same person. In the early church in Jerusalem, there were seven leaders. This Philip was one of them. And he was sitting there, and he had his four daughters. He was one of the bishops that let the remaining apostles go out and do what they were supposed to do. Later on, he became the bishop of a city called Tralles, which is in modern-day Turkey. This road was in the middle of nowhere. Scorpions, snakes, and robbers. And to give you an idea about an angel appearing to someone in a dream or in reality, it occurred 18 times in the New Testament. That was it. That was how rare it was. Before that, it had been hundreds of years. And Philip was a believer in Christ when it wasn't a popular time to be a Christian, especially in Jerusalem. People were out to, at the very least, he would have been arrested. He could have been persecuted, jailed, killed. This man got up and went. No questions, grabbed his shoes, went out to the middle of nowhere. Not knowing what it was for. He just got up and went. And looking at this man's faith, it made me think, how many times in our everyday life have we felt that gentle urging and just not answered it? I've been guilty of it. I felt the urging, things laid on my heart, and I haven't answered it. Much less somebody in a white robe telling me to go out to the middle of the desert. This man's faith was amazing. Just in spite of everything common sense would tell you, he got up and he went. In 27, verse 27, an Ethiopian eunuch, a man who'd been, who had his genitalia removed. We think of Ethiopia as a very poor country today. Back in this time, Ethiopia had iron smelting, gold mining. It's also known as Kush or Nubia. If you've ever seen any movies about Egypt or anything like that, and they mention Nubia, that was the source of Egypt's gold. This place was loaded. Loaded. Candace was a title for Queen Mother with the Ethiopians. This place was powerful. This guy was the equivalent of the Secretary of Treasury for the U.S. And he was returning and seeing his chariot and reading about the prophet Isaiah, and I didn't really, that one was a new one on me. Turned out, there are a lot of church traditions, and everyone's taught, probably heard of the Queen of Sheba during Solomon's time. There are some churches, church traditions that say they had a child. His name was Menelik. He ended up being a king of Ethiopia, king of this kingdom. Between that and then when the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed and all the tribes were lost and scattered, 10 out of 12 tribes, they were pushed to the ends of the earth. literally. And Zephaniah 3:10 says, from the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. This book was written 600 years before the birth of Christ. So there were Jews in Ethiopia then. I thought about it and I thought, 600 years, God never forgot that remnant, that tiny piece that had been scattered. They were there because of the decisions their ancestors made and the consequences of those decisions, but God never forgot them. He never forgot about a plan to bring them home in the end. He had a plan in motion. This eunuch was returning from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. A lot of the Jewish holidays, they have festivals and believers go to them. He was probably in a four-wheel vehicle, driver. They were moving slow, somebody reading the scripture out loud. I know there are times we think that if we can't reach a lot of people, it's not worth it. But just that one person, this story in God's word, one person, it can make a difference. And the Holy Spirit told him, go up and join this chariot. And he ran up to this guy, this educated guy, probably covered in gold. Do you understand what you're reading? And the fellow said, how can I unless somebody guides me? How many of us have felt like this Ethiopian? I have. I've read a Bible. I've read all kinds of scripture. I didn't know the meaning of it. I read the words, but I didn't understand it. There have been people through my life that have helped me understand. And maybe it's not even the scripture. Maybe it's a problem. It's something that's going on in life. And you don't understand it. You just don't understand why this is happening. And there are a couple of things going on with this. This is an educated man. He's very educated, and probably Philip probably ain't exactly the best looking thing around. You know, he's rough, he's gruff, and when you help someone, it requires a couple of things. You have to have someone willing to help, and then the person that needs to help, they have to put aside their pride and humble themselves. And Philip looked really rough compared to this fellow. I've had times in my life where I've been helped by people that I didn't think I could get any help from them, but God had other plans. God put these people in my life to show me, to help me in one way or another. And I've been reminded through some of my experiences why I have two ears and one mouth. And James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that's a rendering of what they might have looked like. And the passage he was reading was from Isaiah 53:7-8. And it was describing Jesus, the sheep to slaughter. He doesn't open his mouth, his judgment. This Ethiopian had probably grown up reading scripture. His education was probably equivalent to the Pharisees or the scribes. But in Jesus, but a lot of Jews looked, they didn't see the Messiah as someone who suffered. They saw him as a conqueror, someone that was going to come in and free them. By their way of thinking, freeing, though, they thought military. They weren't thinking salvation. Some of people thought of him as a person that was going to restore the laws of Moses. Not as a suffering servant, though. It may seem strange to us in one way, like, how could they not know this is about Jesus? But don't we have different ideas about what he is? Some of us thinking of him as the person that steers the car. Some of us thinking of him as a set of jumper cables or a spare tire to be pulled out in case of emergency. So it's nothing unique to that time. Then there's a person that They want no responsibility for their actions, then they get mad when God doesn't clean it up. God gives us grace. Grace is never an excuse to go out and sin again, though. Never. Jesus lived and died for our sins. He was sinless in his life. And that's really what this is saying. And the official answered Philip and said, "Who is this prophet talking about?" And Philip opened his mouth. And from that scripture on, he witnessed to this man. And I don't think it was Philip. I think it was the Holy Spirit working through him. Some of you have gotten texts from me that have prayers. Some of you have saw me in ceremonies or services. What comes out are not my words. In prayers and times of need, the Holy Spirit guides me to what I say and what I do. And this isn't something just for pastors. It's for anyone that'll let the Holy Spirit work through them. In Exodus, Moses was trying to tell God, "I don't have the words to talk to Pharaoh." And that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you." But Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I will make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron will speak to Pharaoh, that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land." Pharaoh used Moses. God used Moses with Pharaoh, and Holy Spirit wants to use us. It may be just a small piece, a small part of our day. And being used by God, Philip helped this one man. And working through Philip, an ordinary man reached someone. Philip wasn't anything special. He was somebody that said yes. He got up and he went. And Philip, and they passed by some water, and the Ethiopian said, "Can I get baptized?" And they stopped the chariot. They went out. Philip asked him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Our modern sinner's prayer comes from a variation of this. "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And saying that, "I believe he came to earth for our sins. He lived and he died and he rose again so that we may have salvation. Everlasting salvation. And we will be with those other believers that have accepted this. One day, this world is not ours. Our world is the next one." Philip disappeared. And the eunuch got up, didn't see him, but just went on down the road, a changed man. Philip himself was in another part of the country, and he just kept preaching the gospel. And it was obvious to see the change in the Ethiopian. I think Philip was changed too. He let himself be used, and he wanted to be used more by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote about the effect of the Holy Spirit on our lives in Galatians 5, 24 and 25. "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And let the Holy Spirit be an everyday part of our lives, not just during prayer, not on Sundays. The results can be amazing. What happened after this? Today, this very minute, Ethiopia, surrounded by Islamic countries, 63% Christian. It survived crusades, revolutions, bombings. One man, one person, plant a seed. A person from the everyone crowd helps someone. The government there isn't real friendly to these Christians. They've removed them from education and media. They're hanging on in spite of it. How did this flower of Christianity come in this field of Islamic weeds? One person helping someone else. We may not see the effects of our efforts when we do what is laid on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't make the efforts any less important. Philip's act of obedience and faith played a part in 69 million Christians in Ethiopia today. Now, before we go to the Lord in prayer and song, I just want you to think about next time you get that gentle urging, that thing laid on your heart, that pray about it. Just pray about it. Seek God's will for you. It may be something just really small. I've had it laid on my heart to go up and talk to someone at a coffee stand. And I don't know what the results of it. Or encourage someone about school. But there's something. When we touch another person, it sets things off. I had a chance to take part. It was a privilege to be part of a service for a young lady. And I saw how her life impacted so many other people. She impacted so many people that she said yes. She said yes. At times when she didn't have one foot in front of another. She didn't know how she was going to make it from point A to point B. But she said yes. It's all good. The door's open. Anyone that wants to come in, they can. Sometimes people don't like what they hear, but it's okay because that's a seed into itself. If you come here looking for unicorns and vanilla ice cream, up here you ain't going to get it. Because I'm going to tell you, we're all responsible for what we do. But anyway, that young lady, she reached out. She said yes. She didn't think twice. And I heard person after person say how she had impacted those lives. A living example. And she may not have known during this life the impact she had. But she said yes. She was someone helping someone else. You just never know what it'll lead to. If I can get everyone to stand for me, please, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, then song. The altars are open. Anyone that'd like to come forward or pray in your chair, whatever the Lord has on your heart. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer, lifting up so many people. Father, those that are lost, those that are hurting, Father, we lift them up to you. Father, we lift up those that are spiritually and physically injured. Father, we lift ourselves up to you, Father. Help us. Help us to do what we're supposed to do. To help each other, to do your work, for you to work through us. Father, there are needs in this room. There are needs in this church, in this community. Father, you know what's laid on these hearts. We are all fighting battles. Father, we just ask that you help us in our lives and work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.